From the Beer of the Day satellite office in Pasadena, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. On tonight's show, we feature five beers from Cigar City Brewing in Tampa, Florida. Jeff's friend Hugo brought back five different Cigar City beers, and you can't really get those out here, so we get to try those tonight. I'm Dallas Hellicker. Joining me tonight, Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, and for the first time ever, Kevin Sievers. Hey, guys.
Woohoo! Good evening.
How you doing?
Hello.
So, first show from Jeff's place.
Glad you guys came down here for once.
Yeah.
I like the ambiance.
Well, sadly, it's a show where we only have six beers to show. Normally, I drink six by myself.
Right.
So I'm glad you guys are here to share these.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, before we get into the Cigar City beers, anyone have any beers recently worth mentioning?
Yeah, I had one. We're down here for the weekend. We went to a couple places in town, and one of them was called Bootleggers. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about them, how big they are or whatnot. But they had this. It was a Belgian double. It's called Plum Riot, and the notes of plum from that beer were so like spot on. It didn't get sweet. It wasn't overpowering. But you don't even know if they actually use plums or they just brewed a beer to give it a plum essence. It was excellent.
I had one too. So also today in the LA area, we went to Noble Ale Works, which is in Fullerton. And I think their most popular beer is called Naughty Sauce, which I've had before. First time I had it was at the Mammoth Blues and Brews Festival last July. It was delicious. And so we went back there today, and it's this coffee-infused milk stout. It's got the lactose. It's very light colored. You know, most milk stouts are darker in color. This is a really light-colored milk stout. Just like the smoothness of this beer was awesome. It was very kind of creamy, lots of vanilla flavors. So I would highly recommend this beer if you're in the area. It's probably not easy to get outside of the LA area, but it was phenomenal.
All right, well, let's get into the first Cigar City beer of the day. This is Florida Cracker. Belgian style white ale.
We obviously didn't name these beers.
Yeah, I don't think you get away with that here in California.
Definitely not.
Probably not.
But I guess in Florida, it's a different story. Color-wise, this is a light yellow color, cloudy.
It is like the whitest beer we've had, though, ever on the show, I would say. It's very... It's a white yellow, I would call it, right?
Very white, like yeah. Lemony, but like white, and you can't really see through it.
Yeah, your white ales are supposed to be pretty cloudy, so that's a good start.
On the nose, I get kind of a little yeasty funkiness. It's some Belgian characteristics. It's pretty aromatic. Maybe it's just a little bit of lemon.
So this is 5.5%. The Belgian style white ale. I'm guessing this has some orange peel, coriander flavors.
We'll try it and see.
Yes.
You get a lot of lemon on the finish.
But not like bitter, not like acidic lemon, right?
No, just the juice.
Like lemon candy.
Yeah.
So this is a kind of a light-bodied beer, very, not heavy at all. It's the taste-wise, you get kind of some of a wheat beer, light wheat beer, and then maybe a little lemon on the finish. But there's very subtle in the flavors here.
There is the underlying, and it's a staple of Belgian style ales is the banana yeast flavor. But it's really just in the very background behind all that lemony breadiness,
I definitely get the banana now that you mention it. But this is a good first beer. I mean, obviously we started from kind of the lightest to the heaviest, but this is a good kind of summertime beer, I would say. This is refreshing, lightweight, you know, pretty solid mouthfeel. I think it's very tasty, but easy. I could drink lots of these.
So it's funny you say that, you know, most people, you know, session ales are below 5%. For a guy like me who's a little bigger, you know, 6% and less is sessionable for me. And I would take this over any session IPA you put in front of me. This is a beer that is, I could drink a lot of. If on a hot day, though, it'd be a good golf beer.
Yeah, definitely good golf beer.
Yeah, the one thing I really like about it is that when, especially from a home brewer, when you're brewing it at a lower temperature, you get a lot of the banana notes.
Yeah.
If you're brewing at the higher temperature, you get a lot more like coriander. It's definitely a beer you can drink all day.
So just to introduce Kevin to the show, he's a guest tonight. He lives here in Pasadena, close to me, and we go drinking beer from time to time. So it's cool to have him on a show. First time, as Dallas said. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's finish this one off and move into the next beer. We have the Invasion Pale Ale, 5%. So actually moving down a little bit percentage-wise from this white Belgian-style white ale. And Jeff's pouring it here.
We only have one can to share.
It's kind of funny because I rarely have regular pale ales.
Yeah, it's something to be said for that, where you know, everything is so IPA centric nowadays. IPA is the standard, so you know, to have a pale ale. Last week we did the show from Claremont Craft Ales,
yep.
And the very first beer we had was the Carlisle Pale Ale.
Yep,
and that I had the same thought at that time. Drinking just a standard pale ale, it was like, hey, you know, you don't have to, you can have a nice drinkable beer without the overkill on the hops. And that stood out to me as a pale ale that was really well done.
So this is 5% Invasion. It's got a funky design on this can.
is that a pirate or...
It's either a pirate or a terrorist.
I'm going terrorist.
So color-wise, pretty light as well. I mean, definitely not like the last one, but fairly light. A little, I don't know if this is my glass, but it's not translucent. It's a little cloudy. Not too cloudy, though.
I'm not sure where they're going with the hops on this beer. It's strange. Almost like we got the last batch or something.
So, I mean, East Coast beer, obviously in California, you have the West Coast IPA, and you have the hops that they use here are, we're all used to it, but like going to, I haven't really had a whole lot of Florida beer, so I don't really know, but going into the show, you kind of expect it to be a little bit more reserved on the hoppiness or different hop flavors. So we'll see on this one.
I will say these are all fresh. So our friend Hugo, who lives in Florida, brought these to us. And, you know, this one was canned in December. We're now in January. So that's pretty fresh. All of these are, you know, I sort of would worry about that. If we happen to find beer from Florida in California, I would wonder how fresh it is. And I like that these beers have the canned on date on them, and they're all very fresh.
So this one really has a malty finish. I would say the profile overall is malty for a pale ale, for what we're used to here at least. It's enjoyable. It's very drinkable, exceptionally drinkable. But you really just don't get a lot of hop.
No, I mean, it's there, but it's more reserved. Like compared to even Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't even compare.
Yeah, or like a Dale's Pale Ale.
Yeah, exactly. It's more, definitely more on the malty side, and it's reserved on the hop flavors.
But it's very flavorful. I mean, I really enjoy this beer, and I gravitate towards IPAs now, but it's nice to go back to a really solid pale ale. And I would put this in that category.
Yeah, it's very, very drinkable.
Yeah, I just think I want a little bit more hop. If I had to pick this over another one, it would need a little bit more hop.
I wonder what the IBUs are. Any idea?
It's probably in the mid-40s.
Yeah.
Mid-40s at best.
So, yeah, we're down here in the L.A. area visiting Jeff, and then we recorded the Claremont show yesterday. And then today we visited three different breweries, and you want to recap our adventures today?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
All right, I'll go through them. So we went to three places. First was the brewery, which I think a lot of people are familiar with. It's in Placentia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's in Orange County. It's right next to Anaheim. Pretty well-known brewery. I think they specialize in a lot of like sour beers and wild ales and different than, you know, what we drink a lot of IPAs, and they're a different style, but it was a cool place. We went there today. It was packed. You could tell everybody there really enjoyed the beer. They probably had 30 beers to choose from.
Yeah.
Really cool ambiance. I would recommend that place, especially if you're into the little more like experimental sour.
Well, and even on that note, they experimented with beers that are part of their regular production. So you're not going to get those. They don't bottle them. They just sell them there.
Yeah.
And if there's a beer you're really into from them, go there. They'll have a different version of it.
And it's the whole spectrum. And they had some stuff that was super high alcohol content.
Yeah.
I remember like...
really high.
You know, you have this list that you fill out. You pick the beers you want. The bottom five were all like 16 or 17%.
Yeah, a third of the list was all over 10%.
Right.
And then there was a good 5 to 7 that were 15 or higher.
Right. You don't see that. I mean, those are rare. And they had 5 or 6 at least that were over 15% alcohol.
Well, the thing you have to give them credit for is that the brewery, most breweries have a flagship or like 5 or 6 beers that they always do all the time.
Right.
But the brewery, they're just like, we're going to do what we want. And that's how we roll.
Yeah. And yeah, there was it was tough to pick 5 from that list.
It like was
going through the list and okay, I'm going to try, you know, the tastings, you get to pick 5. And it was definitely really hard to choose because they had such variety.
And it's tough to choose because you always want to try the new things, but then you're like, oh man, I really want the one that's my favorite. I already know it's my favorite. But I mean, that's the great thing about the tasters is you can pick 1 or 2 that you know you like, and then 3 others that are, you know, different.
Well, and I thought what was cool is they blend a lot of their beers together. Like they will find 2 or 3 of their beers that really work, and then they will mix the 3 together to create a whole new beer. And then they, you know, they have a lot of barrel aged stuff, and they're just, it's the type of place you have to go back to frequently because it's going to be different every time.
Absolutely.
So after that, we went to Bootleggers, which is in Fullerton. Really cool place, laid back, just one guy working.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Like when we got there, it was no big deal. There was hardly anybody there. But
yeah, but it started to pick up a little bit. There was a line and the football game was on. And so, yeah, people.
The life-size Jenga.
Exactly.
They had that going outside. That was pretty cool.
So they, you know, they make some good beers. The one I liked the best was what Andy already mentioned, the Plum Riot. But they also have an IPA called Far Out IPA, which I would highly recommend. Very fresh, tasty, you know, kind of West Coast style IPA. Lots to choose from. Good price. I thought it was just a really chill, you know, we sat out on a patio. There's all these picnic tables. Fun place to go.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for sure. Their rye IPA I also thought was quite good.
Yeah, the rye IPA was good. They had a we had a bunch. You were mentioning the KS.
They're known for the knuckle sandwich.
Knuckle sandwich.
And that's easily in my top 10 for Deepa's or double IPA.
Did you guys have that?
I had that. I liked it a lot. It was smooth. I mean, it was probably 10% alcohol.
Yeah.
And it was pretty well masked.
That Plum Riot, you know, it's funny because I had that the other day when the first night we were here at a bar in Pasadena, and we go to the brewery, and I'm a little under the weather. I'm only going to have one beer. And there's a whole list. There's 20 beers on there.
That's not.
And so I picked it again. Just it was so good, and it was good again.
It was.
It really is an amazing beer.
And so third stop after that, we went to Noble Ale Works, which is in Anaheim. It's really close to like the Honda Center and Anaheim's Angel Stadium.
Don't go there when a hockey game, especially if it's the Ducks and the Kings,
yeah,
is about to start.
We were there like 3 hours before game time, and it was packed with hockey fans. But
oh my goodness,
it was cool. Like obviously everybody there was having a good time. It was packed, long line, a small place, but you know, good beer. As I mentioned, my favorite was the Naughty Sauce, but they have several IPAs.
What was that? Another beer one? That was my. Well, I mean, we only had a few, but that was my favorite.
The Naughty Sauce?
No, the one that it's
called like a dark Czech style lager, but yeah. It was really good.
Yeah, it's just called Another Beer.
Another beer.
Yeah,
that was good. So yeah, three places, all I think really good representation of the Southern LA area, Northern Orange County. So I was pretty pleased with all three places.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move into the next beer. We have the Tocobaga.
Casadega?
I'm telling you, if you're not reading, it looks like tobacco.
It does, right? That's why I called it yesterday when I saw it.
I was like, tobacco, Florida. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we'll see if it has any tobacco flavors. So a red ale, it's actually a light brown color. I wouldn't peg this as too red.
Like an amber copper color, but it's 7.2%, which I think is pretty high for a red ale.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It smells more like an IPA. It smells good.
Yeah.
Yeah, smells like a red IPA.
And when we first started doing the show, I try to harp on this is like, it's not like pale ale and IPA are regulated terms. So you can call it whatever you want, but it is what it tastes like, right? It is what it is.
Pretty much.
And so it's kind of up to, you know, the reviewer to decide where it fits in their profile.
Yeah. So this has, this is just like you said, it's a red IPA. It reminds me of a lot of those red IPAs that we've had lately. Toaster Pastry. We had that double red from Coronado. We had the flip side, Sierra Nevada.
We had
Claremont, the Station 101.
Speaking of the Toaster Pastry, did you guys like that one?
Yeah, I actually was surprised. I thought it was going to be a gimmick, you know?
It's so hyped.
It was way hyped, but it actually was pretty good.
Yeah.
Comes from 21st Amendment, right?
Yeah. And the reason why they opened up a new brewing facility in San Leandro that had formerly been occupied by Kellogg, and they made Pop-Tarts there.
Yeah.
And so that was the reason.
Homage to Kellogg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But this one is right in that same vein, it seems like.
Yeah.
This is a really well-balanced beer. I mean, again, I think it's a red IPA, but the malts and the hops here are just so, I would say, very perfectly balanced. That's what I look for in an IPA. It's a little maltier, being a California
Florida
beer drinker.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'd expect it to be a little bit maltier, but I just think it's super well-balanced.
The red IPAs are some of my, it's weird to say this, but some of my favorite to cook with. And like IPAs are tough to cook with because there's a point where you have to wait till the bitterness cooks out of the food. And if you don't wait that long, then your food just is all bitter. But once you get past that, red IPAs really lend a great flavor to vegetables and potatoes and things like that.
Haven't tried it, but I think I should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've been holding out on us, Andy. You've never had anything that you've cooked with beer.
The flip side is my favorite one from Sierra Nevada, but it's pretty bitter, so you really got to make sure you get past that hump, and it's tough to judge.
This is not bitter at all.
This is not bitter. So I think this would be a great beer to cook with.
No, I think it's pretty sweet.
It is sweet. Yeah, I agree. And maybe that's why they didn't call it an IPA is because it's not really hoppy, you know?
Yeah, you probably
more malty with the red malts.
I think in general, though, these beers so far have been reserved in the hoppiness. Like, I don't get that much hops from this beer, but, you know, in Invasion Pale, it wasn't too it was more reserved on the hoppiness also.
I agree, but I think it's actually a little bit more than I expected. I did not expect a lot of hops, and I've been a little surprised. Not hoppy by any means, but more than I was thinking they would have.
Well, you know, the East Coast beers, they usually don't use too much hops, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least compared to the West Coast. Because the West Coast, though, like, let me throw 500 IBUs at you and see how it tastes.
Right. Now, this is a pretty good representation of an East Coast style IPA, 7.2%. You know, pretty much that's would fit that category.
But Kevin's right. This is a pretty sweet beer.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the red ales we drink are not that sweet. I think they lend to, like, the hop flavor. But this is a sweeter red ale.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with a West Coast beer, Stone, Chocovesa Extra Añejo, and then two more beers from Cigar City Brewing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoyed this podcast and want to help us out, we would appreciate it, and you can do so by shopping on Amazon. So if you go to the Beer of the Day website, there's a banner at the top of the screen that says Amazon. You click that, you do your regular shopping, and then we get a little bit of a percentage of whatever you spend. It doesn't cost you a single penny more, but you can help us out paying for bandwidth on the website, the beers that we drink on this podcast, audio equipment. So just as an example, somebody just this last week came to the Beer of the Day website, clicked on the banner, and they purchased Pets 3D Valentines.
Jeffrey.
Was that you, Jeff?
No, I don't have any pets.
Oh, well, it cost them $4. We got 24 cents out of it. And that 24 cents is going to go to beers on our next show.
How many beers did that buy?
Well, this show, we got them all for free. So
thank you, Hugo.
Thanks, Hugo. Yeah, but for a future show, for sure, that 24 cents is going to go towards paying for the beer that we try on this program. So much appreciated. Shopping on Amazon is a good way to help us out. Also, another way to help us out is to tell a friend about the podcast. If you have friends that like craft beer, then this show is probably for them. So send them the link, beerofthedaypodcast.com, or even better, get their phone, download the podcast app, and subscribe to it. Because then they're going to have it right there so they can listen to it in the car or wherever they want to listen to their podcast. So that's the other way. Tell a friend. This is our 34th episode. And so we're a brand new podcast, pretty much. Only been doing this half a year. But the more people that you tell about it, the better for everybody. All right, let's get into our Strange Brew segment. We have the Stone Chocovesa Extra Añejo. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. This is our Strange Brew segment. If you've never heard the show before, this is where we find the strangest beer that we could find and try it for you so you don't have to. This is Stone Chocovesa Extra Añejo, aged in tequila barrels.
And wine, right?
Tequila barrels and red wine barrels.
So we had recently here. A couple weeks ago, we had our Christmas beer show, and we had the regular Stone Chocovesa, and that was our favorite beer of the day, for sure. I mean, I think it was unanimous. So I looked for this beer. Jeff bought it, and we, you know, post pictures back and forth and say, you know, hey, I got this beer. Maybe you should try and find this beer so that we can do have the same beers down here in Pasadena and up there in Elk Grove. And he found this beer not available in Northern California. So I'm glad that we get to try this now with Andy and I down here in Southern California.
And it's not the strangest brew we've ever had, but it's a mocha stout. I don't know. Do you guys know, is this just the regular Choco Vesa but aged in these barrels?
I wonder if it says right here on the bottle in all these words.
It might. There's too many words on there for me to read.
The base beer is a recipe from the 2014 Stone Homebrew Competition, which is the same one. So it's all the same there. And then it's 3 months French oak extra añejo tequila barrels that previously held Bordeaux wine. Wow.
And this is one that if you can get your hands on it, I think would age really well. You could store this probably for a couple of years and it'd be delicious. This is fresh.
Yeah, it says ages well. Store at cellar temp 55 degrees or below. Pretty good.
Well, we're drinking it now, so there's not going to be any aging going on here.
I've never been able to age a beer because...
you drink it.
Yeah. I'm like, who ages beers?
Yeah, it's tough. The good ones get drank pretty
fast. The nice thing is that the oldest beers in the beer fridge back home at the world headquarters are like Miller Lite. Seriously.
Well, the ones I can age are the ones that have a specific date, like the Stone Enjoy After. If it has a date where it says drink it after that date, I have the willpower to set it aside and not drink it.
We have one of those too.
But that's it.
Yeah, well, I think they had an Enjoy After 12/25/15. So we're off to have that one soon. It's now after.
Is that the one we have?
Yeah, we have one. We have one that's later. Yeah, we have a few of them. Enjoy after.
So what do you guys think?
This is pretty good.
So this is dark, dark brown, not quite black, but pretty close. It's got a little bit of a tan head on the top, but not a whole lot of head.
A little red color around the edges of the glass.
Now, I remember the regular Choco Vesa and the aroma was straight chocolate. Like, you could smell the chocolate. This one, you don't get hardly any chocolate.
This has no aroma compared to the regular one. Yeah.
There's a little aroma, but to me, it's like cold, it's like coffee.
Well, it's hard to get a lot of aroma when you're using cocoa nibs and coffee.
Yeah, but that Choco Vesa, the regular one, just really had a pretty pungent aroma. It really did.
It had like so many complex flavors. It had the coffee, the cocoa, a little bit of pepper, I think vanilla. I can't remember. It's been a few weeks since I've had it, but this seems like a more mellow version. Like, it's smoothed out, I think, from the barrels, but this is way like smooth compared to the regular one.
It is. And the regular one, you say smooth, and I think we described the regular Choco Vesa as silky. So this is smooth in the sense that it, like, the silkiness of the regular had kind of left a film on your tongue, but it was very like velvety rich. This is more smooth, goes down easy, has, you can feel a little bit of carbonation. It's a different beer, but I would call it more drinkable. I could drink more of this than I could of the regular.
Yeah. The original one was a novelty.
Yeah.
You know, it was so chocolatey and so, it had that spicy chocolate.
The Mexican hot chocolate.
Yeah, Mexican hot chocolate. And this is more reserved. This is more of a traditional coffee porter, I'd say.
Did they say what kind of chocolate they used?
No.
I've done a porter with Mexican chocolate before. Abuelita chocolate. And it smells exactly the same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same chocolate.
Maybe it's here. I don't see it.
Didn't taste as good as this one, though. That's for sure.
But this is, it's super, I just can't get away from the smoothness, but it doesn't taste really like alcoholic at all. And I don't think, I mean, it's only, what's the alcohol percentage?
8.5.
8.5. That's about right. Yeah. But this is one of the first beers I've ever had that's aged in añejo bottles. We drink a lot of beer that's in bourbon barrels, maybe the occasional rye barrel. But Añejo tequila, pretty rare. And I think that's why we chose this as a strange brew, because you don't get that very often.
True. But I don't get any tequila taste from this.
I don't get any booziness off of it either.
Nope.
I think you're really just getting the essence of the barrel.
Right. Yeah. I think that
I also don't get any of the wine. I mean, it's rich. There is a richness to it, and maybe that's where that comes from, but it's not like rich chocolatey. It's just like just rich in flavor.
Is there lactose in here, do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. There's lactose. Right?
And that's still pretty subtle. I mean, this is technically a milk stout, but it's light compared to a lot of the milk stouts I've had.
Well, and that's where that silkiness comes from, and it's very reserved in this compared to the regular Chocovesa.
But the label says this has spices. I would not call this spicy by any means.
No.
At least the original had a little bit of bite to it. Not a lot, but a little bit. This does not have any spice.
Well, at the very end, you get the spices, but it's not really prevalent.
No.
At all.
It's a good example of showing what you can do with one beer, and you can affect change on it just by how you store it, you know?
Definitely.
I think our next beer, a brown ale, is fine to go in this glass after we had this one. I think it will be pretty fitting.
Okay, well, let's get into the next one then. We have the Maduro Brown Ale, Cigar City, once again. Jeff's pouring it right now. And it appears to be the same color as the previous beer, maybe just one shade lighter.
Yeah.
It's a dark brown beer, a fair amount of tan head.
Also very fresh, canned in December.
That smells good. Boy, it has a smell of a cigar. Like, I mean, you got to lower your expectations. You're not going to get that strong of an aroma, but there's notes of cigar in the aroma.
And some like leather. I think leather and tobacco sometimes have a similar aromas. I get both of those without taking a sip of this.
Yeah, it's a good, just on the smell itself, it's a really good smelling beer. It smells like a traditional brown ale. Maybe not even as sweet. It's a little more robust.
That bricky aroma.
So this is a pretty good description on the can. Hints of caramel, toffee, chocolate, and espresso. I think I could see all of those notes of each of those in this beer.
It's very strange, this beer. It's it almost tastes like you're tasting a cigar, which is a pretty good example of what the guy on the front is holding a cigar.
What do you guys think of this? Like, I'm not a big brown ale fan, but this is one of the better ones.
This is when I go to brown ale, there's a lot of them that try to be drinkable for a lot of people, and that's not what I really enjoy. I enjoy when you get this real bricky, earthy tones throughout the beer where you kind of have to chew it, but it's not heavy. It's just you got to really work your way through the beer. I don't want to call it complex, but I would call it I would definitely call it robust. I think that's a perfect word for it. And it's one where it's one of those where you can have one of them and really explore it, but you don't need to have a whole bunch.
And it's not overly sweet. Like a lot of brown ales are too sweet for me.
Yeah.
This is not overly sweet.
I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I like the sweet brown ales. Kind of like the Moose Drill.
Yeah. Moose Drill is a good one, but that's, like I said, that's one that I could have a six pack of and work through that through the night. But this is more of, I'll have one can and explore that, but that's enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's palate is different. And, you know, the great thing about craft beer is anybody can go to a brewery and find a beer they like. Different styles, different flavors. I can like a brown ale from one place and hate the next one. But I like this. Maybe I like West Coast IPAs and East Coast brown ales. Who knows?
It's possible.
It's almost like it's almost like it has like a hint of sourness in it.
A little bit, yeah.
At the very end, you get this. It's almost this twinge you get in your tongue. Like,
It's funny you say that, and that's one of those things where, you know, our buddy Steve, who's on here sometimes, he always says something, And then as soon as he says it, I pick it up, but I never caught it before. So it's like, is it because you said it or is it because I taste it? And I do feel it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get into the beer news of the day. So, one of the stories, which is kind of not really too relevant, but it was interesting. Michigan has banned the founders, the label of the beer. The
breakfast stout, right?
The breakfast stout has a baby on it, and they don't allow to kids on beer labels.
What?
And so they've had to make a different version of the beer for sale in Michigan without the baby. And they have an empty chair that says, left the crib for a bit. And they've had to do this. And now, finally, the state legislature, Liquor Control Commission in Michigan, has approved the founder's label. So now they have the baby back on the label. So if you're going to buy the breakfast stout from Founders in Michigan, you have the same label as everybody else, which was actually a really good beer. We did a podcast on Founders back in October 15th, and I can't remember if that was my beer of the day, but I remember liking that beer.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. Okay, so being in the L.A. area, we have from the L.A. Times, the six most memorable beers from 2015. Highland Park Raised Eyebrows. So Highland Park Brewery, I went there with Jeff. The Hermosillo is the name of the bar.
The restaurant.
I'm so confused about that. I don't know whether they call it the Hermosillo or Highland Park Brewery.
Right. So there's a bar that they've taken over as far as like their distribution. So if you want to go to the brewery, you got to go to this bar and different. But so that's one of them. The Smog City Kumquat Saison.
Come what?
I don't know. So these are L.A. beers.
L.A. beers, the best ones of this year. Mumford Brewing, Black Mamba with coffee.
It's going to be right on the front.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mumford is in downtown L.A. Haven't been there.
Mumford and Sons or just Mumford?
Just Mumford.
Mm.
El Segundo Brewing Company, Broken Skull IPA.
Hey.
Heard of it.
We talk about notable beers we had this weekend.
Yes.
That was the first beer we had this weekend.
Oh, so Andy and I drove 6 hours down here.
Yeah.
We walk in the door. Jeff pours us Broken Skull IPA, El Segundo Brewing Company. First time we've had it.
Excellent IPA.
But you guys, I don't know if you realize how rare it is. Like, there's outrage across LA of people who want this beer and cannot get it. And I was able to get 4 22-ounce bottles a couple weeks ago. So you guys are in pretty rare company to be trying this beer.
It is. And people up in Sacramento have been like trying. Anyone have it? They've been asking about it on our Facebook thread. But I have to say, as far as beer of the day goes, the most popular beer ever on beer of the day is El Segundo Broken Skull IPA, because Stone Cold Steve Austin retweeted us to his 4 million followers, and they came with you wouldn't believe how much traffic we got. It was a huge boom.
And real quick on that beer, and we talk about this a lot, and you get celebrities and you get big companies getting involved in beers. You always wonder how much of it is gimmick, and this beer does not disappoint. It is an excellent IPA. Yeah. You will enjoy it.
Definitely. You're always looking for, is it a gimmick? Is it just, but this beer is not that. It actually is very good. So that was definitely enjoyable. Phantom Carriage, Strawberry Broad Acres. Huh? From Carson is the name of the brewery.
I'm actually going to go there in like in about a month. I heard it's I've always heard really, really good things about that brewery.
Kevin's really in the know when it comes to LA breweries, more so than me. So
we should have let him drive us around.
And then the last beer everything. On the list, Jacaranda IPA, Claremont Craft Ales.
Is it?
Yep.
Nice. One of our favorites.
So this is supposed to be the breweries of 2015, but they put this on the list because it's the first time it's had the distribution. So now you can actually buy the beer throughout the LA area. And so that's why it's on the list. We had that on the show. We had it last week on the program. And Jacaranda, definitely a good IPA and probably the best rye IPA you could ever get. All right, well, let's get into the final beer of the day. This is Hi-Li IPA, 7.5%. Cigar City. I need to drink my rest of my beer here.
So this is like the flagship, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's their most popular beer for sure. It's the one where, you know, everybody in the country knows this beer. They just can't get it.
Color-wise, I like ye.
Yeah, it's that kind of lighter copper color.
It's definitely skunky.
Very fresh as well. Canned on December. Can't quite read this. December 18th or 12th. I can't tell. But
close enough.
Regardless, pretty fresh.
If it's the 12th, throw it out.
No, I think it's 18.
Ooh, yes. It's got a little dank, but a little fresh. Very fresh hop aroma.
Fresh, but not, it doesn't get floral. It's not, and it's not really piney either. It's, I don't know. It's kind of a mellow hop aroma. It's dank, but not super dank. And it's not
like the Stone, like Best Buy, the 30 Day.
Yeah.
Those are dank beers on the aroma. But this is pretty fresh tasting. I don't know what kind of hops are in here. Maybe some Mosaic. I don't know. But
I don't think so.
Maybe not. Andy, what's the background on this? This is a game we talked about.
A game?
The Jai Alai?
Hi-Li?
Hi-Li?
It's a sport.
Sport.
It's a sport.
What do you know about it?
I don't know much.
I know the pelota travels faster in Hi-Li than it does in any other sport.
So, you know, there's world records for the fastest moving object in sports, right? And for a long time, it was a golf ball from like one of the world long drivers, right? That going 215, 220 miles an hour. Well, and then they finally recorded a Hi-Li pelota and it went faster. And now it's the fastest moving object in all sports. I don't know the object. I'm assuming you score goals or points or I honestly don't know. But I do know that in Miami, it's a big thing. And in all of Florida, people know what Hi-Li is.
It's called the Merry Game.
Yes.
Oh, it's native to the Basque region of Spain. I've been there. I should probably know more about this.
Yeah.
You get married if you lose a game?
That'd be gambling. But this is tasty. This is their flagship beer, as we said. I've been looking most forward to this beer all night. This is a pretty like full-bodied IPA.
Yeah, I would call it more malty than hoppy.
Yeah, it's not. It's kind of your East Coast IPA.
It's very representative of the East Coast, but it's not overly malty. You know, it's more reserved.
There's enough hops there to let you know it's there, and it's I guess you could say it's tropical hops.
I think the hops are more prevalent on the aroma than on the taste. And it's 7.5%. I mean, this is not a light beer by any means, but yeah, it's malty. But the maltiness is more on the taste. It kind of the hops hit you at the start, and then as you drink a little bit, it's a little bit less hoppy.
Yeah, the hops don't stay with you as long as a lot of other beers, which is good to me because I don't like hops staying with me too long because then I don't get a chance to try anything else.
Yeah. It's just that's all you experience.
Kevin, when you when you're making beers at home, if you make an IPA, like, do you gravitate towards a West Coast style, or do you try to make a an East Coast style IPA, or what's kind of your preference when it comes to making your own IPA?
I actually stay away from West Coast, even though I'm from the West Coast. It's funny because most of the guys in my homebrew club, they like the West Coast style, heavy on the hops, very, very heavy on the hops. But I like the East Coast style because the, you know, the hops aren't too prevalent and they don't stay on your tongue all night. Because I prefer, I mean, honestly, I prefer Belgian beers. So if I have a very hoppy West Coast beer, that means I can't try anything else.
Well, and I think as a home brewer, if you make a West Coast style beer, you make 5 or 10 gallons of it. You're not going to drink it fast enough to get keep fresh hops, you know?
Yeah.
You got to watch out for that too. But so do you follow recipes in general, or, you know, I like to cook. I'm not a chef, but I like to cook, and I'm to the point now where I like to take the basic idea and then do my own spin on it.
I still like to follow recipes. I put a little twist on it, but it's almost like as a homebrewer, you have to do a recipe maybe 4 or 5 times before you can really make it your own.
Right.
So I think the last recipe I did was just a simple English brown ale, and I don't think it was bitter enough. So next time I'm going to do it maybe a little more bitter, a little more dry.
Cool.
So I guess it all depends upon your palate, which is what it always comes back to.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I think we had a pretty good sampling of the Cigar City beers. Andy, you want to take us through the beers we tried tonight?
Yeah, so we started off with the Florida Cracker, the Belgian-style white ale.
Wow. There's actually some history there. There's something about Florida Crackers being like, you know, it was like early settlers to Florida. I don't know the whole history, but that's where the term comes from.
Okay.
Well, you can Google it. Wikipedia.
Yeah. And then we had the Invasion Pale Ale. After that, we had the Tokobaga Red Ale. We came back from our commercial. We had the Stone Chaco Vesa Extra Añejo as our strange brew. We moved on to the Maduro Brown Ale. And we finished off with the Highlight India Pale Ale.
All right, let's spin the wheel and figure out who's going to go first for picking their beer of the day. And hey, it's me. Okay, so, man, it's a pretty varied different beers we had tonight. Tough decision. I am going to go with the Tokobaga Red Ale. I've been a fan of the, it's really a red IPA. So I think it's a style that is becoming more and more popular. We've had a lot of them on the show recently, and I think this is a good representation of the style. It, you know, it has enough hoppiness to fit in with, you know, that the IPA. I like hops, obviously, but it really had a good balance as far as the more red maltiness as well. So I'm taking Tokobaga.
I was really mad when Dallas picked that because I thought that was going to be my beer, the only one.
We can share it.
We can share. I'm going to pick that, but I will say all of these were good beers. I appreciate that we got these beers because I think none of us have probably ever had Cigar City. We had a collaboration Cigar City with Boulevard that was a really tasty beer.
We did, and at festivals I think we've had it a couple times, yeah. But it's rare to get that out here.
Yeah, and the distribution isn't here, so it was really nice to have five very different beers. We went the whole gamut from Belgian style white ales to pale ale to red ale to brown ale to an IPA. They were all good, but I have to agree with Dallas. I didn't think he'd pick it, but my favorite was the Tokobaga red IPA. It's a style I'm liking more and more. It was a little sweet, but not too sweet. I thought it was very well balanced. I know I said that at the time, but very smooth, that's the beer that if I went to this brewery, I would be seeking out Tokabaga again. So that's my choice for beer of the day.
All right. Kevin.
All right. So my beer of the day was between two of them. I was thinking either the actual Stone, which Stone I'm not too much of a fan of, or the Florida Cracker. And, you know, I love saying Florida Cracker. But I think it's the Florida Cracker. I love making white ales just because it just feels right, because you can drink them all day, and it had a nice mouthfeel, wasn't too alcoholic. It was really smooth, and I think, yeah, that one for me is the best one of the
day.
That's
a hot day beer right there, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
mowing the lawn or playing
solid.
Golf.
It's hard to go wrong with that.
At a baseball game.
Well, it was 70 degrees today. And it's January.
Yeah, especially in Southern California. I mean,
it's always
most
summer.
Of the time, 80 degrees.
Okay, that's tough. That's a good choice, Kevin. I don't know if I'm allowed to pick the Tokabaga because Jeff was so sure nobody else was going to pick it, but I'm going to because he's an idiot. But I got to go with the Tokabaga. You know, all these beers, I kind of want to go with the Maduro now.
Do it.
I'm going to do
it. Mix
it
up.
Now that I think about it, all the beers were pretty malty. They didn't lend a lot in the hop profile. The Maduro is a brown ale. It's not supposed to have a lot of hops. And it was the epitome of what a brown ale should be, in my opinion.
Yes.
And I got to pick that one today. The rest of them, even the Highlight, which I really enjoy, is just, it's too malty for me. I want more hop aroma, more hop flavor, a little bit more bitterness for that beer. So Maduro for me.
All right. All right, well, that's going to close out our Cigar City show. I want to thank Kevin for joining us. It was great having you on. New blood. We'll see you next time. If you're on Facebook, check us out on facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, Twitter, @BeerOfTheDay, and on Instagram, Jeff posted every day, Beer of the Day site. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Kevin Sievers, I'm Dallas Hulliker. We'll see you next time on the Beer of the Day podcast.